It's May 23rd, 2010. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Bolser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Pray with me. O God, as we come into your presence, we invite you to rule in our hearts and minds. Give us a renewed sense of what it means for you to be Lord and Savior of our lives. Let our actions be guided by your Spirit, and may our words be shaped by your truth. We confess that at times we turn from you and your ways. Bring us back to you for the sake of your kingdom and the restoring of our lives. Amen.
We know it is said that the Lord will come in his glory to take us away to that mansion there in the sky.
That was "When Will He Come?" sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we are pleased to have Emeriti Professor Dr. George Shillington with us again as our guest speaker. Thank you, George, for caring for us in this way.
The Apostle Paul's letter to Philemon is the shortest of all his letters, with only 25 verses, including the salutation and closing greeting and benediction. There is very little explicit theological expression in the letter, but lots of personal pleading based on belief in God and Jesus Christ. This short personal letter grew out of a social, ethical issue: slavery. Here's the situation. In the city of Colossae lived a man named Philemon. He opened his house to a group of people who believed in Jesus, people who wanted to follow the ways of Jesus. Paul knows Philemon and the group that meets in his house. This Philemon owned a slave called Onesimus. The slave decided to run away from his owner. Apparently he was apprehended and ended up in prison next to Paul. Slavery was practiced and protected by law in Roman society in the first century. For Paul to harbor a slave, especially one who belongs to a friend, would constitute a breach of trust and a violation of civil law. Thus, many people see in Paul's letter an obligation that Paul recognizes and fulfills. He's sending the slave Onesimus back to his owner with a letter of recommendation. But I submit there is much more going on in the rhetoric of this letter than a simple recommendation not to be too hard on the runaway slave. You see, Onesimus became a believer in Jesus through his encounter with Paul in prison. More than that, his faith in Jesus made him a willing helper of the older Paul in his incarceration. But Paul knows the law. He has no right to keep the slave for himself. That would be stealing under the current law of that time. Now, let's listen in on Paul's appeal inside the letter. "I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending my own heart to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent. I wanted you to have him back, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. There you have it. Paul is not simply sending back a runaway slave. He is appealing to his owner, Philemon, to give his slave his freedom so that he could serve Paul as a free person. Paul is not appealing to the slave owner to transfer ownership. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets people free from all the shackles that bind them. Here is a case where the relationship within the body of Christ trumps relationship in Roman society. Paul views his younger partner as his child and declares the slave to be a brother to his owner, no longer a slave. Slavery has been a blight on society in any age. What right does one human being have to own another human being? The law of Christ sets people free. Paul found that out for himself. And here he puts the principle into practice, not for himself, but for the one enslaved. In the mid-1950s, a man named John Knox wrote an article on this little letter of Paul. He asked the question, how does this short letter about a runaway slave and his owner find its way into the collection of letters from Paul and thence into the New Testament scriptures? Here was his answer. The young Onesimus gained his freedom by virtue of this letter. He kept the letter close to his heart, and after Paul's death, Onesimus collected all of Paul's letters from the various churches and included his own small letter of freedom with the rest. And that scenario has some merit. Freedom is a gift. Slavery is a sin. Anyone who follows in the way of Jesus, as Paul did, will seek to set people free from all the constraints and addictions that society imposes upon them. Amen.
That was Christ Upon the Mountain Peak, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Nadine Campen is my interview guest today. She joined CMU as Marketing and Communications Director last September. Nadine, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, David. Pleasure to be here.
You have this unique role, I think, here at CMU, where everyone wants to know Nadine because everyone wants their story to be told, which in any one-day period, I imagine that you have an innumerable number of people and stories and perspectives coming across your desk, all good stories. How do you find your way into that? And I guess I'm curious about even the passion for everyone, the imagination for everyone. They're diverse. They have their own reference points. They have their unique sense of what tells a good story in that space. Can you just kind of walk me into your a day in the life of Nadine a little bit? How do you sort out all of that?
Well, there's lots of lists. As uninspiring as that might sound, no, there's truly, this is a rich, rich field of storytelling and information. And everywhere you look, it's inspiring. I came in here on the heels of another person being interviewed and sat and just listened to them talking. And it's like that my whole day. Everywhere I turn, someone has something wonderful that they're studying, learning, sharing. The way that I'm seeing, you know, theology in a new light too, because there's so many people here with really a deep understanding that I'm not theologically trained. I'm an ordinary citizen. I have a career in communications that didn't involve biblical studies. So for me to be in a setting where I'm in and among people who are very learned, but also deeply committed, it's wonderful. It's helping me grow. And as I listen to the stories, it's like being in a treasure warehouse, and you get to very carefully hold pieces of people's lives and take a look at it and help them tell it in a way that's reflecting what they truly want to share. It's quite a privilege to be in that position.
You've talked about this vision you have for students to move into the world, to discover who they are and to move forward. If they were to pursue your type of vocation in communications and marketing, can you give us a hint of ways of being or characteristics that you have found to say, when I am these things, then I am at my best in terms of how God has shaped me?
Mm-hmm. One thing is to always be true to yourself. As a writer, I've always had the rule that I only work for good. Like, I don't lend my pen to anything that I'm not, that I can't be deeply proud of at the end of the day. You know, as you travel along through life and you only get to do things once. Like, you can't go back and redo those 10 years. You've done them now. And at the end of the day, you want to be able to say, I'm very satisfied. I've been a servant. I've carried a load. I've helped make the world a better place. So to those who move into communications, they are in the really wonderful position of using their words, their skills, their video talents, their artistic eye for photography, whatever aspect of communications they move into, broadcasting, to use their intuition, their skills, their intellect to further that and to share the love they have for God with others and to make a career for themselves that really inspires them and gives them lifelong learning.
I love that image of, as you say, I don't lend my pen to something I don't believe in. That's a powerful picture of a disposition.
Well, that's been my, right? You know, you work with integrity.
And some tough choices in the midst of all of that.
Yeah, and you always have that choice to walk or to not do something or to, and as an editor or a writer, you're always choosing your words very carefully. And you can find the positive outlook. You can find a way to say it that's not bringing harm to people. You can search for the truth and represent it. And if you do your work with integrity, then, you know, when you hang up or put your pen down at the end of the day, you rest comfortably knowing you've done well.
I thought for a moment there you're going to say when you hang up your skates or put your pen down.
Well, I was, you know, I do use sports analogies in my other life a lot, so I couldn't help
it. Given the bit of connection to hockey in your family, that would be putting up the skates or putting the pen down.
I had to sort of switch what I was going to say there.
Well, Nadine, this has been wonderful. We've got a lot of stories, and we'll do it again sometime. So thank you so much for sharing some of your story.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. From June 14 to July 2nd, students are coming from around the world to participate in the Canadian School of Peacebuilding. The school is led by Professor Jerem Sawatsky. June 15 is the 9th annual CMU President's Golf Classic. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. And you can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.